In 1 Kings and chapter 9, we read the following. And it came to pass when Solomon had finished the building of the house of the Lord and the king's house, and all Solomon's desire which he was pleased to do, that the Lord appeared to Solomon the second time, as he appeared unto him at Gibeon. And the Lord said unto him, I have heard thy prayer and thy supplication that thou hast made before me. I have hallowed this house which thou hast built, to put my name there forever, and mine eyes and mine heart shall be there perpetually. And if thou wilt walk before me as David thy father walked, in integrity of heart and in uprightness, to do according to all that I have commanded thee, and will keep my statutes and my judgments, then I will establish the throne of thy kingdom upon Israel forever. As I promised to David thy father, saying, there shall not fail thee a man upon the throne of Israel. But if ye shall at all turn from following me, ye or your children, and will not keep my commandments and my statutes which I have set before you, but go and serve other gods and worship them, then will I cut off Israel out of the land which I have given them, and this house which I have hallowed for my name will I cast out of my sight, and Israel shall be a proverb and a byword among all people. And at this house which is high, every one that passeth by it shall be astonished and shall hiss, and they shall say, why hath the Lord done thus unto this land and to this house? And they shall answer, because they forsook the Lord their God, who brought forth their fathers out of the land of Egypt, and have taken hold upon other gods, and have worshipped them and served them. Wherefore hath the Lord brought upon them all this evil? Came to pass when Solomon had finished the building of the house of the Lord and the king's house, and all Solomon's desire which he was pleased to do, that the Lord appeared to Solomon the second time, as he had appeared unto him at Gibeon. The Lord appeared to Solomon. The Lord appeared. We saw some time ago how the Lord appeared unto Solomon at Gibeon, and how he came unto Solomon and said, ask what I shall give thee. And Solomon prayed and said, Lord, give me wisdom. Wisdom. The Lord gave Solomon that faith and that wisdom to ask for wisdom. And with that wisdom, God caused Solomon to build the house that David had longed to build for the Lord. Except the Lord had appeared unto Solomon, all that Solomon knew and all that Solomon did would have been but outward, following a form. Whatever he may have done that was right in the eyes of men before God, whatever he may have done in terms of building a house for God, or in terms of worship, or in terms of sacrifice, whatever he may have done outwardly would have been but form. But Solomon met with God. The Lord had appeared unto him. And the Lord gave him wisdom. The Lord gave him Christ, the wisdom of God. Christ was made unto him wisdom. The Lord appeared to him. And that made the difference. So too with us. Except the Lord appears unto us, except the Lord makes himself known unto us, except we truly come to know God in spirit, in reality, in truth, then all that we may say and do and believe is but outward. All our understanding of the gospel, all our religion is but a form, is but outward. And that is all it is with us until God appears. That is all it is with so many with so many in religions, with so many in Christendom, so many who profess to follow Jesus, don't know him. He's never appeared unto them. There's no reality. They've read of him in the Bible, perhaps. They've heard of him from others, perhaps. They have the knowledge. And in their religion, they have the form. They go to worship. They live their lives in a certain way, but there's nothing to it. It's all outward. And so much of our religion, personally, so much of your religion and my religion, until God appears, is just outward. And this is why so many, on hearing the gospel, on hearing the truth, can see nothing in it. They're not brought to believe because it's just outward. They can hear of the facts, but it's not real. Saul, Pharisee of the Pharisees, of the tribe of Benjamin, zealous in the religion of the Jews, esteemed by all as a man of religion, had no knowledge of Christ until that day when on the Damascus road Christ appeared unto him and cried out unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And from that day on, Saul, then Paul, counted all that he had before, all his knowledge in religion, all his wisdom, all his understanding as nothing, as dung. He counted it as a hindrance to knowing God. It got in the way. He never knew God through the outward form until God came and took those things and pointed him to Christ in them. All his religion had got in the way. All his understanding had led him nowhere until God came in the scriptures and pointed Christ unto him and made him known in all those things, all those forms that Saul had followed. He suddenly saw Christ in them. All the scriptures that he'd read and knew, he suddenly saw how they all pointed unto Christ. Suddenly Christ appeared unto him in all the scriptures and was real unto him. And so it is when God comes unto us in the gospel by his Spirit in power and speaks unto us through these words and they become real. Then the accounts in the scriptures, then the Old Testament record, then the New Testament record, rather than just being words on a page, becomes real. We see Christ in all these things. We see Christ in all the scriptures. He becomes real to us. The Lord appears. For unless the Lord appears unto us, unless we are given faith to see and it becomes a reality, then we have nothing. Salvation is to know him. Not just to know of God, not just to know the account concerning him, not just to know that Christ came, was born, was made a man, lived and then died on a cross, not just to know that he was crucified between two thieves, that his blood was shed, that he was laid in the grave, that he rose again on the third day, that he ascended. Not just to know that the apostles went forth and preached his message throughout Judea to the Jews first and then to the Gentiles. Not just to know the record, but to know the reality. When God comes unto us in the gospel and makes Christ known unto us, when he appears unto us, then we no more see the words on the page, but we see Christ in them. We see him. We hear him. We know him. And suddenly what is just words to others is a reality to us. He's life to us. He's salvation to us. The Lord appears. He must appear. When Solomon had finished the building of the house of the Lord and the king's house, and all Solomon's desire which he was pleased to do, that the Lord appeared to Solomon the second time. It came to pass that the Lord appeared. Has he appeared unto you? Until he does, these are just words. We may even see the truthfulness of the words. We may even recognize that there is a God and that this world was created by him. We may even believe that his son came into the world. It's no great thing to believe these things. The devils believe and tremble. They're true. But the devils aren't saved. Because until the Lord appears unto you, you do not know him as your Saviour. We need to see him. We need him to come unto us and to call our name and to make his grace and his mercy known unto us and to call us by name to follow him. The Lord appeared to Solomon. On his first appearance in Gibeon, he said unto Solomon, "Ask of me what I shall give thee." And Solomon asked for wisdom. And God gave him wisdom. He gave him Christ. He gave him salvation. And then the Lord caused Solomon to build the house, to build the temple, to build the king's house, to build or the altar and the lake before the altar, before the temple, all the inner court of the temple, the Holy of Holies, all the glorious things that Solomon built as a dwelling place for the Lord on earth. He caused him to build these things. And when all was done and Solomon had appeared before that temple, before all the people of Israel, and had prayed unto his God on their behalf, had bowed down before the altar, and then risen up again in a picture of the work of Christ in salvation, when all was done, the Lord appeared to Solomon the second time. The second time. These two appearances unto Solomon both precede and follow the building of the house of God. They are, as it were, two bookends in between which all this work of God in building his house is contained. We have, as it were, these appearances around the work of the gospel in which God builds his house, gathers in his people, saves his people, and brings them unto glory. All that is done between these two appearances depicts the work of God, saving his people, bringing them unto the marriage feast of the Lamb. In Solomon, bowed down at the altar, we have seen a picture of Christ at the cross, Christ upon the altar, the priest offering up the sacrifice, the blood being shed. We see his faith as he hung upon the cross in the darkness, bearing the sins of his people, made sin, drinking the cup of God's wrath, beaten and bruised under the fury of God's wrath poured out upon him. We see his prayers from the cross. We see his intercession for his people, his sufferings, his faith, his offering, the sacrifice, the blood shed upon the altar. We see, as Solomon rose from prayer, the resurrection of Christ, his ascension into glory, his gathering unto him all his people at a great feast, the marriage supper of the Lamb. But before this and after this, there are two appearances made by God unto Solomon, the king, the son. Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. But has he appeared unto you the first time? Has Christ in his gospel made himself known to you? Has he appeared? The Lord appeared once unto Solomon at Gibeon and came unto him and said, "Ask what I shall give thee." And he gave him wisdom. In this first appearance, we see a few things. We see a picture of Christ's entrance and appearance into this world as a fulfillment of that eternal covenant of grace. When Christ came into this world, he came to fulfill that covenant made between Father, Son, and Holy Ghost from eternity. That covenant in which God promised his Son that he would give him the heathen for an inheritance. He would give him a people. He would save this people. And he would bring this people into an everlasting kingdom. And when Christ came into this world, God made man, God in human flesh, God incarnate. When he entered this darkness below, when he entered this veil of tears below, when he grew as a man, born in Bethlehem and grew to a man and walked amongst sinners, God's wisdom, Christ himself walked amongst men. He appeared. He appeared unto man. He appeared unto man physically. And there were many that saw him with the natural eye. But did they see him by faith? Did they see him by faith? We can read of his entrance into this world in the scriptures. We can read of his birth, of his life, of his preaching, of the gospel he declared. We can read his words. We can read the account of his death, his burial, his resurrection. But has he appeared unto you? Yes, there was a day when Christ, the wisdom of God, walked amongst us. When the Son of God was made flesh, when he lived among men, the one man that ever lived without sin, when perfection was upon this earth, when the life of God was manifest, when the righteousness of God was manifest in Jesus Christ, when he came preaching the gospel of the kingdom. Oh, how many saw him, how they heard him, how they were astonished at his doctrine, at his teaching, at his preaching. Never man spake like this man. How they were astonished at his wisdom, how they saw the miracles, the healings, how they saw his meekness, how they saw the reaction of men towards him. How he was rejected, how he was cast out, how he was despised, how the religious, the scribes and the Pharisees who should have received him as their Messiah, despised him, they hated him, they tried to put him to death, they tried to trap him in all his words. They rejected his wisdom because they loved their own wisdom. They rejected his authority because they loved their own authority. They rejected his kingdom and his throne because they wanted to be on the throne of their own kingdom. And not only did they reject him, but you and I, each of us, when we've heard of Christ in the gospel, have reacted in the same way. We turn our eyes away. We turn our backs upon him. Our hearts are elsewhere. We don't want to know. And though he's appeared unto all men in history, in his appearance upon this earth, all men have turned their backs and cast him out. All men have, as it were, taken a sword and plunged it into him upon the cross. They've put him to death. Away with this man, away with this man. Crucify him, crucify him. We love wisdom that comes from within. And we despise and reject the wisdom that comes from above. But oh, what an appearance when Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Oh, what an appearance. God manifest in the flesh. Never man spake like this man. But there were some who heard and saw him at his coming, unto whom he appeared by spirit, who saw him in a way that others didn't see him. When Christ asked the disciples, "Will ye also go away?" Peter answered, "To whom else shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. We believe that thou art the Son of the living God." Has God appeared unto you in Christ and given you the faith he gave Peter? Have you heard from Christ the words of eternal life? Is he made unto you wisdom? Yes, Christ came into this world. He appeared in his first appearance. Has he appeared unto you by his Spirit? In his gospel. For there is a second time when Christ shall appear at the fulfillment of all things, at the conclusion of time. He is coming again. He will appear again. And on that day when he appears, if he has not appeared to us the first time like he appeared unto Solomon, it will be a solemn day. On this second appearance of the Lord unto Solomon, the Lord makes two things clear unto Solomon. He makes it clear that if Solomon and his people follow the Lord, then Solomon's kingdom will be established forever. But if they should turn away unto other gods, then they will be destroyed. And this pronouncement is a pronouncement of the gospel and its effect upon all mankind. When Christ appears a second time, if we're found in him, having his righteousness, doing all his will, not through our own strength or ability, but because he's washed us clean in his blood and made us to be the righteousness of God in him. If we appear before him on that day in that state, then he will reign as our king forever and we will reign with him in an everlasting kingdom. But if we're found as those who have turned aside unto other gods, then our end will be very different. In this second appearance, there is a solemn warning and a powerful declaration of the finished work of the gospel in Jesus Christ. Here the Lord appeared to Solomon when all the work of building the temple was done. When the work of salvation, when Christ's work in building his house was complete, when he had gathered in the last of his people by his gospel, he will come. He will return and he will appear. And there will be a people who go with him into eternal glory, and a people who are sent off into eternal damnation. For Solomon here, as a man, there are promises made and warnings given. As the king over Israel in those days, there were warnings made and promises. Should the people of God worship in faith at that temple, then God would bless them. Should they turn aside, then the temple would be cut off and the people would be cut off from the land. There was a solemn warning, and indeed, as we read on later in Solomon's life, God makes it plain that he will not share his glory with a man. For Solomon's latter end, he turned aside under strange gods. Solomon, like his father David, by nature was a sinner. And all that he had that would last was that which was given to him by God by grace. And we are the same. We're but vile sinners. We cannot serve the Lord as we would. We cannot serve him righteously. We cannot be faithful unto God in our own strength. Left to ourselves, we will go off after other gods willingly, rapidly, headlong. We're sinners through and through. We're vile. We're lost. But if God should appear unto us in Christ and take us and wash us in his blood, he will keep us. He will redeem us. He will ransom us. He will save us. He will deliver us. He will make us to be the righteousness of God in him. Yes, we see an earthly warning and promise made unto Solomon as a man. We see through him the promise unto Christ that his kingdom shall not fail and that his kingdom will last forever and all those who are in him will be delivered. There's a promise, a fulfillment of the covenant here. And there's a warning to all those outside of Christ that outside of him they are lost. Where do you stand in relation to these things? Are you in Christ? Has he appeared unto you? Has he appeared unto you in the gospel? Or do the warnings of judgment apply to you as one who has turned after other gods, who has turned after your own wisdom, who've gone another way? Yes, in this second appearance to Solomon, we see very much the end of all things. We see the judgment seat of Christ here before which we will all be brought. We see his second coming at the end of time, his second appearance before all men. We see that day when every knee shall bow before him. We see that day when all things are fulfilled. We see that day when time is brought to an end, when it's brought to a conclusion, when this earth will be no more. We see that day when the sheep and the goats shall be gathered before him. As we read in Matthew in chapter 25. There we read, when the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come ye blessed of my Father. Inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee, and hungered, and fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger, and took thee in, or naked, and clothed thee? Or when saw we sick, or in prison, and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me not in. Naked, and ye clothed me not. Sick, and in prison, and ye visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered, or a thirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer them, saying, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it not to one of the least of these, ye did it not to me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. Oh, what a day there's coming when the Lord appears. When he appears, on which side of him shall we stand? On which side shall we stand? Peter also writes of this day in his epistle, 2 Peter chapter 3. He writes that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Saviour, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts, and saying, Where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth which are now, by the same word are kept in store, reserved under fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Are you looking according to his promise for the new heavens and the new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness? Because just as the Lord appeared to Solomon in Gibeon and gave him wisdom, and just as the Lord appeared unto Solomon again when the temple was built and made those promises and those warnings unto him, And just as Christ was born and lived and came into this world, God in human flesh, and died upon that cross and shed his blood as he had promised he would, just as he fulfilled the promise of his coming and fulfilled all things concerning him that were declared in the scriptures by all the prophets, just as Christ came as he said he would, so he will return as he says he will. The day is approaching, fast approaching, when the Lord shall appear the second time. The second time. Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. And unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. He will appear. He is coming. And are you looking for him? Has he appeared unto you the first time? Has he come unto you in the gospel and said unto you, thy sins are forgiven thee? Follow me. Has he come unto you like he came unto that thief upon the cross and said, today thou shalt be with me in paradise? Has he appeared unto you in salvation? If he has, then when he comes the second time, he will declare that you shall enter into his kingdom to live and reign with him forevermore. That you shall enter into his paradise, that you are his, that you are his bride, that he has set his grace upon you. He shall say, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. But if he's never appeared, if every time he's come unto you in the gospel, in mercy and grace, in making his truth known, is every time he's had the long suffering and compassion to make his truth known unto you, you've turned aside and shut your ears and gone another way, whoring after the gods of this world and the wisdom of man and your own glory, if every time you've turned aside, and in your heart you've hammered another nail into his hands and crucified him upon the cross afresh, if every time he's come in the gospel, he's never truly appeared unto you as your Saviour. If every time it's just been words to you and a burden to you and a disinterest to you. If every time he's come your way, you've turned aside and mocked and scoffed. If you've never shown compassion, if you've never clothed one of his little children, if you've never shown love unto his little ones, if you've never shown love unto Christ and his people, if all the time you've cast him and them aside, then on that day he shall come unto you and say, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For the Lord did indeed appear. He appeared unto Solomon at Gibeon. He appeared unto Solomon the second time. He appeared unto Saul on the road to Damascus. He appeared upon the face of this earth in the person of Jesus Christ and declared his gospel unto all kingdoms, to the Jew first and to the Gentile. He's made it known, and he appears every time he sends forth his gospel by a preacher sent of God. He appears every day that the sun rises and the darkness of the night is dispelled. He appears unto all men and says, this is God. This is my Son. Hear ye him. He appears. But has he come unto you in that gospel by his Spirit? Has he come into your heart? Has he appeared unto you by power and said, you're mine? I shed my blood for you. I died for you. I knew you before ever you were born. I knew you when you were in your sin. I knew you when you were in darkness. You're mine. I gave myself for you because I love you. And you shall be mine forevermore. Has he appeared unto you in the gospel, in Christ, in his spirit, in grace? Has he come unto you and said, believe me, follow me, you're mine? The Lord appeared unto Solomon. Oh, that he should appear unto us in grace, in salvation, and give us that faith to look for his coming, that when he returns again in power, he should appear unto us without sin unto salvation the second time.